Good afternoon, everyone. Today is November 8, 2023, and today is the afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, will you please call the roll?
Good afternoon. Max.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Gonzalez.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here.
Now we'll hear from the city attorney.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Portland City Council. To testify before council in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance on the council agenda at www.portland.gov/council/agenda. Information on engaging with city council can be found on the council clerk's webpage. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during city council meetings. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. A timer will indicate when your time is done. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If you cause a disruption, a warning will be given. Further disruption will result in ejection from the meeting. Anyone who fails to leave once ejected is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, council may take a short recess and reconvene virtually. Your testimony today should address the matter being considered. When testifying, state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you're representing an organization, please identify it. For testifiers joining virtually, please unmute yourself once council clerk calls your name. Thank you.
Thank you. So now we have one item on the agenda today, item 948. Would you please read it, Keelan?
Thank you. Approve amendments to settlement agreement between the United States and the city in the United States District Court case and authorize an alternative selection process for an independent monitor.
Thank you. Mayor Wheeler, turn it over to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Commissioner Rubio. Colleagues, today the council has an opportunity to move the city forward in its settlement agreement with the United States Department of Justice. This agreement would transition compliance monitoring to an independent monitor. It would also ensure that the city maintains existing compliance while also expanding our capacity to focus on areas in need of improvement. Here to provide an overview of the new terms, Heidi Brown from the City Attorney's Office. Hi there, Heidi. How are you tonight?
I'm well, Mayor. How are you Good. Today?
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon, commissioners and mayor. I already said hello. I'm Heidi Brown. I'm a chief deputy with the city attorney's office, and it's great to be here today. So the city of Portland, if you'll remember, we entered into the settlement agreement with the United States Justice Department in 2012. And at the time that we entered into that, it had some notable features different than other consent decrees and settlement agreements nationwide. First, Portland's agreement is the only city where the Department of Justice serves in two roles. One, they serve as the plaintiff bringing a suit against the city, but in addition, they serve as the monitor analyzing our compliance with the terms of the settlement agreement. So that is a very unique feature. The second notable feature is that the city's compliance requires an all or nothing approach. So the city, in order to attain substantial compliance and have the settlement agreement dismissed, has to attain substantial compliance on every paragraph in the agreement. Whereas most other jurisdictions, there are groupings of paragraphs, and when a jurisdiction meets substantial compliance in that grouping and shows a sustained and systemic change, at that point, the courts dismiss that. So that's another area where the city of Portland's current settlement agreement is different from most jurisdictions. So the agreement that we have before you today that we're asking for your support and moving forward and your approval of is a result of several months of negotiation and mediation. And I do want to take some time to thank a number of people because a number of people were involved with this. So first, I'd like to thank your council staff. All council have a staff person that's worked on the settlement agreement with us, and I really appreciate their participation and their input and their thoughtful engagement in the mediation process. Stephanie Howard from the mayor's office, Darian Jones from Commissioner Ryan's office, Angela Rico from Commissioner Rubio's office, and Jackson Paul from Commissioner Mapp's office, and Grace Sarpak from Commissioner Gonzalez's office. So I do really want to thank all of them. I also want to take a minute to thank City Attorney Robert Taylor. He's been immeasurably supportive and helpful and involved at every mediation session and in the drafting and finalization and getting to yes on this agreement. So I really appreciate him. And I also want to appreciate Deputy City Attorney Sarah Ames, as well as Deputy City Attorney Lisa Rogers here to my right, for all their work and time in getting us to this agreement that's before you today. Lastly, I do want to thank, or not lastly, but in addition, I want to thank our federal magistrate judge, Stacey Beckerman. She was our mediation judge and was extremely helpful in help in getting us to this agreement that's before you today. I also want to thank the amici in the settlement agreement, the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. I know Dr. Leroy Haynes is here today, and I appreciate he was very involved in our mediation sessions, and I appreciate him and the whole AMAC interaction and approach, as well as the Mental Health Association and all their members who showed up and involved themselves in the mediation, and the Portland Police Association, who participated thoughtfully, helpfully, all of them, and constructively in this mediation. And lastly, I just want to note the leadership that was provided by United States Attorney General Merrick Garland. In September of 2021, Attorney General Garland issued a memo that provides guidance on monitor agreements. And the amendments to the city's settlement agreement that's before you today incorporates much of what Attorney General Garland's guidance includes, and specifically use of partial termination provisions, which I'll go over, and transitioning monitoring responsibilities to the jurisdiction over time. I think the settlement agreement amendments that are before you today make three important modifications to our existing settlement agreement. And the first one is the most critical part is it allows the appointment of an independent monitor who will if approved by you and if approved by the court, going forward would monitor the city's compliance with the terms of the settlement agreement. If adopted, that means that the Department of Justice will no longer serve in that dual role that I noted to you is very rare. And also, I think what's important in that is that the Attorney General Garland's memo talks about a monitor being independent, highly qualified, and free of conflicts of interest, and that language is reflected in our amendment. The second thing that I think is pivotal in this amendment is the inclusion of provisions that immediately terminate. So the settlement agreement paragraphs were put together in groups of paragraphs that relate to one another. And for any grouping of paragraphs where the city had been in substantial compliance for at least the three prior compliance assessments performed by the Department of Justice, those paragraphs, which, and I just so the public knows, those assessments occur once a year at most, sometimes a little longer between them. But so at least for the last 3 years, and I would say back until 2019, the city has shown that those paragraphs that are getting immediately partially terminated, we have been in substantial compliance for. And I think that this really reflects the hard work of the city and in particular the Portland Police Bureau in making systemic changes such that the DOJ was able to find us in substantial compliance over such a period of years. And finally, I think the important change that occurs in this is for the remaining obligations, the amendments create a process that allows the city to focus on compliance efforts where they are most needed by including a provision for self-monitoring and then eventual termination of those groups of paragraphs. And self-monitoring really, I think, provides the city with an opportunity to demonstrate our ability to create systemic change and maintain systemic change. So the self-monitoring will occur after the monitor finds that we've been in substantial compliance for a period of time, and then it will convert over to self-monitoring, and then the city will need to show for a one-year period, a consecutive period, that we're able to maintain that substantial compliance. And then at the conclusion of that, the city and the Department of Justice can move the court to terminate those provisions as well. And as I said, I think the real benefit to that is to acknowledge the city's hard work where that occurs by terminating those provisions as we've once we demonstrate that ability. And then secondly, it really allows us to focus our attention on the areas remaining under the settlement agreement that still need attention. So with that, that's kind of the big level summary of this 39-page document or so. But I'm more than happy to answer questions, and of course we'll remain available to do so now or after public testimony.
Any questions? No. Keelan, is there any public testimony?
We do. We have five people signed up.
Okay, let's proceed.
First up, we have Liani Reyna. They're joining us online.
Hi there. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Good afternoon, citizens of Portland, council members, and members of the DOJ. My name is Liani Reyna, former Portland police sergeant. I am a gay Latina female, and I was the incident commander at the scene of Aaron Campbell, whose death sparked the United States lawsuit against the city of Portland. The assignment of an independent monitor is 11 years overdue and should have been assigned from the very beginning. Portland's lack of truthfulness and transparency continues to be a significant problem. Aaron Campbell was killed because Sergeant John Birkenbein, a white male, refused to follow my instructions. An arbitrator pointed out Birkenbein's role in Campbell's death, stating, quote, "The conclusion I draw from the record is that the tipping point was when Sergeant Birkenbein chose to deviate from the incident commander's last instruction. Why do you think Birkenbein refused to listen to the instructions of a gay Latina female? Then Captain Bob Day was never held accountable for his role in Campbell's death, and in fact was immediately promoted for his incompetence. Day is alleged to have forgotten his bulletproof vest and could not come to me. Where was Bob's goddamn vest? Was it in the trunk of the car he drove to the scene of the incident? No one asked that critical question. Captains are given take-home cars so they can have their equipment with them to respond 24/7. The DOJ failed to identify the real issues which led to Campbell's death. It wasn't the police response to a mental health issue. Years later, the city has yet to explain why an offensive slide appeared in a Portland police crowd control training session. Why wasn't Commander Craig Dobson held accountable for his failure to report the misconduct as soon as he discovered it? Dobson let it sit there for years and didn't tell anyone. Police leaders were forced to disclose it as a result of civil litigation instead of having the integrity to address the matter as soon as it was discovered. I told you in prior testimony, everyone at all levels needs to be held accountable, and you still won't do it. Police leaders are violating the settlement agreement without consequences. Why is this happening? The role of the city attorney is to police the police, but the city attorney has refused to do their job. Who ordered them not to do their job? If the city attorney doesn't do their part in police accountability, then all this is for naught, and you will continue to ride the hamster wheel. Government officials continue to engage in a dog and pony show, wasting taxpayer money. An independent monitor needs to be hired immediately and should not let Portland off the hook unless Portland complies with every paragraph it agreed to. I support the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, we have Dr. Leroy Haynes, Jr.
Welcome, Pastor Haynes.
Thank you very much. The Honorable Mayor Ted Wither, to distinguished members of the Portland City Council. I am the Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, Jr., President of the Urbana Ministerial Alliance and Chairperson of the Urbana Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, which was given enhanced amicus in the settlement agreement of the U.S. Department of Justice versus the City of Portland. First, I want to affirm the diligent work that has been done by the Department of Justice, the City Attorney Office, and the amicus when we were included in some of the agreement on the monitoring the independent monitor to replace COCO. We are thankful that some of our ideas and points are included in the final draft. We believe that moving towards an independent monitor who report to the court and the city and other entities for implementation of the settlement agreement will speed the process of implementation of the settlement agreement in an efficient, fair, reasonable, just way for all parties, amicus, and stakeholders. If the right court monitor is selected and resources to do the task defined in the agreement, we do have a few concerns here. I want to lift up. One, the ability of a person selected outside of the region to adequately become familiar with 10 years, 12 years history and dynamics and the idiosyncrasies of the Portland police community relationship with such a short tenure. Secondly, the accessibility of the enhanced amicus and other amicus and stakeholders to engage the court monitor. Thirdly, to have AMAC and MHA and other key stakeholders participate in the training of the court monitor. We believe that this is a step in the right direction. And I want to say to Alpha Sorio that the MA coalition was the first to point out that Campbell death was caused by the situation of not obeying her information. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Dan Handelman, Portland Cop Watch.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman. I use he, him pronouns. I'm a member of Portland Cop Watch. I'm also a former member of the Police Accountability Commission and a member of the steering committee of the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, but I'm speaking today on behalf of Portland Cop Watch. In fact, although the AMAC was able to attend closed mediation sessions about today's monitor proposal, because they were confidential, I had not been able to discuss any of the proposed changes with members of my own group, Portland Cop Watch, until the Oregonian published information about it on Thursday night. Thus, today's testimony marks the first time that our organization or any member of the general public has been able to weigh in on this complex and important development in the U.S. DOJ versus City of Portland case. We generally expressed support in the past for the idea of a monitor with a caveat that we want the person to be local to ease the learning curve and increase the likelihood of true community engagement. While the City and DOJ have yet to write up a request for proposal for this job, we hope those criteria will be weighted in favor of local candidates. We've noted before how the process of hiring the COCL in 2014 included community input, which favored two of the three candidates who were both local. However, the city ignored the community's input and chose someone from Chicago instead. We need to state up front that while we recognize the reality that one day the U.S. Department of Justice will no longer look over the city's shoulder to be sure the agreed-upon reforms are continuing, we have little faith that Portland can monitor itself. We'll probably bring this example up again when the new Community Board for Police Accountability comes before you, but here we go. At the hearing last week to grant a $300,000 settlement for a person who video shows were pushed down by the Portland police officers multiple times, resulting in two fractures to the person's arm, the city attorney described the incident as an encounter where the person fell and was injured. A city that talks about brutality in such an inauthentic way is not capable of self-monitoring. Broadly speaking, we found there are 40 or 41 paragraphs that will remain under DOJ scrutiny, 15 for the city to self-monitor, and another 40 to 41 being dismissed. The city and DOJ apparently are in disagreement about dispatch rules for the Portland Street Response Program. The city has pledged its support for PSR, which is meant to be an alternative to police engaging with people in mental health crisis, but not engaged in criminal activity. This is 100% what the settlement agreement is about. And that the city has any question about it being a necessary piece to complete substantial compliance shows, again, its disregard for true accountability. We're glad that among the paragraphs still under review are ones about the operation of the employee information system, as the Oregonians seem to think those were going to be dismissed in their original article. The most recent compliance officer's report shows that 18 officers used force between 9 and 18 times each during a one-year period, far more than their peers, and they were not universally counseled. There's work to be done. It's also welcome that 14 of the sections on officer accountability. We could also comment on other parts of the 34-page document that was released on Friday, but 5.5 days is nowhere near enough time for serious review. Since the hearing on November 30 with Judge Simon is currently listed as a status conference and not a fairness hearing, we ask that counsel remove the emergency clause from this item to allow the public to testify until a second reading on the 15th. Just because counsel and the city attorney may have had a lot of time to deliberate on this topic doesn't mean the community has had time to digest its details and its deeper meaning. Thank you.
Next up, we have Mark Porras, Portland Cop Watch.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Mark Porras, use he, him pronouns, and I'm also a member of Portland Cop Watch. For the self-monitoring paragraphs, it's important that paragraph 150 isn't being terminated because PPB's annual report presentations continue to be poorly promoted, leading to low attendance. They're over-moderated to where certain questions are rephrased or ignored and light on areas that are required for presentations, such as stops data. They also don't focus at all on outcomes of misconduct investigations and trivialize deadly force incidents. Similarly, paragraph 148 on stop data collection has been called out by the COCL in its last several reports because the disparate numbers of Black people stopped by police is not changing. The data aren't being used to really figure out how to fix this glaring problem. Getting back to the paragraph still under review, the paragraph on creating the new oversight system will be put to the test perhaps as early as next week. The compliance officer put out a biased and seemingly poorly researched technical assistance document. It mischaracterizes or ignores the actual proposal put forward by the Police Accountability Commission. For instance, the COCL claims the PAC only calls for police officers to be involved in high-level case hearings, where the proposed code actually asks for a ranking member of PPB's training division to be at all hearings to answer questions about police policy, training, and procedure, as they are for the current police review board. The COCL recognizes that the lack of police officers on the new oversight board is a requirement of the city charter. However, they claim having no officers creates an inability to represent the community. The COCL has signed off on the diversity of the Citizen Review Committee and the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing for 8 years and never suggested those groups need to have law enforcement on them to be representative. We'll reserve other comments on this for tonight's town hall with the COCL. We were going to say that it's important for the council and city attorney to read that document with a great deal of skepticism. However, from the proposed city code that was released last night, we see that the city's interested in keeping the police as much in charge of this system as they can. For instance, adding cops to the nominating committee. Some of the paragraphs that are being cut from the agreement are things the Bureau enacted, such as creating the behavioral health unit, paragraph 91. But what will happen if PPB claims they have to shut that unit down for budgetary reasons? Is there ever an institutional assurance that there's no going back to pre-2012 status quo? There's other paragraphs being cut, which cause us similar concerns, such as ensuring all officers get 40 hours of crisis intervention training. This training was suggested for 14 years until it was implemented after James Chassie was killed by PPB. Paragraph 130 underscores that PPB must have and enforce a policy against retaliation, and when that's no longer being scrutinized, will a future chief just gut that directive? It sounds absurd, but then all sorts of progressive policies that have been put in place over the years have been eroded in part because there's so much turnover in the Bureau, at City Council, and in the City Attorney's Office, while only a dedicated few stay active to bring a collective memory forward. And I'd like to close by echoing Mr. Handelman's comments about needing more time for the community to give feedback to Council so that when the proposal gets to Judge Simon, it will better reflect the concerns of the general public. Thanks.
Next up, we have Ann Brayfield. Ann, you're muted.
On mute. Good afternoon. Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Council Commissioners. I'm Ann Brayfield. I'm a concerned citizen. I've been involved with this settlement agreement since prior to its adoption. And I, along with other members of the community, have put in a lot of time and resources working with all of the parties involved to this settlement agreement over the last 10 plus years. And I would really appreciate it if you would suspend the emergency clause to give members of the community some additional time to respond to a very complicated document and agreement. I happen to have been away, didn't see this until yesterday. And I really need to do some work to see where things are. I was a little surprised that things were going away, things were coming in. I'm not sure what's happening, and I think that it would be respectful to the community to allow some additional time for public comment. I am in support of a monitor. I want to understand, as things have been put out now, exactly what that looks like, what the process is going to be, so that I can comment on what's happened here that's come out of mediation. Obviously, not being in mediation, I haven't seen or know anything of what, you know, has shown up now. And I appreciate the hard work that everyone has put in to get to this point. I appreciate that we have some results out of mediation. But again, to speak to counsel, to speak to the judge, I would really appreciate some additional time to analyze and to contemplate what we have here now. Thank you.
That completes testimony.
Thank you, Keelan. Colleagues, is there any further discussion?
I have one or two questions for the attorneys. Hi, just a couple of quick questions. Can you remind us of the process for selecting the independent monitor? How will that happen?
Yes. So first of all, we'll put out a request for proposal that'll be developed with input from a number of people. And then we will go through the applications, and part of the agreement has the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, as well as the Mental Health Association and the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing involved in that process to provide feedback, and also the Portland Police Association, excuse me. So they will be able to provide their feedback at that point. And then for when the city and the Department of Justice, with their input, determine who they might want to interview, those same folks will be part of the interview process, so they can provide their input and feedback at that point as well. And then once three finalists have been selected, there will be time for public and community input, along with the town hall where the three finalists will present. And that period for public and community input will be for a 30-day period. And during that 30-day period is when the town hall will occur.
Okay, great. One of the things I think we heard in public testimony is an interest that we choose someone local. And so I just wanted to make sure that there was going to be an opportunity to at least voice that concern, or at least have the public have a clear look at who our candidates are. The other question that I wanted to explore today a little bit is this. Where do the amici kind of fit into the new system that we have here?
So under the current agreement, Commissioner, the amici don't have a that what their current role is, the term states friend of the court. The AMAC is given enhanced status so that they are, I don't know if you want to say a better friend of the court, but they're enhanced friend of the court. And I know Judge Simon certainly respects and listens to their input as well as the Mental Health Association, the MHA. And so, but they are not reflected in the current settlement agreement at all. So in this version, we have incorporated the AMAC and the MHA as well as PSEP, but more importantly, the AMAC and the MHA are now referenced. So they have the role in selecting the monitor. Anybody will have access to give feedback to the monitor on their view of the city's efforts in complying with the settlement agreement. And then also at any point where we go to mediation, it'll be up to the mediation judge to decide, but they are all welcome to be invited. And I would anticipate they would be highly involved in any mediation that might occur regarding disagreements over the terms of the settlement agreement to the extent that might occur in the future.
Great. Glad to hear all of that. Certainly one of my concerns is that stakeholders who have been involved in this conversation have an opportunity to stay at the table. And it's my understanding that some efforts were made on the city's part to make sure that happened. And my final question, which I realize might be challenging to answer, given the uncertain world that we live in. Do we have any sense of timelines? How far out are we from actually selecting an independent monitor?
Well, so the Department of Justice and the city filed a motion to amend the settlement agreement conditional upon council's vote today. And in that, we did request Judge Simon to schedule the fairness hearing on November 30th, the date that's already been set aside for a status conference. It's a date when all the attorneys for all the different parties and amicus, et cetera, are available. But ultimately, that will be Judge Simon's determination, whether it's then or some other date in December or whenever the court has time to hear us and feels it's appropriate. And I do want to note that at that point, also, Judge Simon always invites the public to receive, to provide testimony. And then thereafter, we would, you know, we have to agree upon what the request for proposal will look like. We've already been working on that, just started that process. But our hope would be to start working on that with everybody so that as we get to the fairness hearing and once Judge Simon rules, that ideally we could get the request for proposal out quickly. Thereafter, I would estimate about 90 days. I mean, we have to give some time. I'd assume it would be open for 30 days, then give us 30 days or so to review, interview folks. And then we still have at the end, as I noted, another 30-day process for community input once we've announced the three finalists, as well as the town hall hearing. So I think 90 days probably is me being optimistic, maybe more like 120. But I do think we're all, certainly from the city, everybody's very interested in moving forward and getting a monitor selected.
Great. And are there costs associated with this proposal?
Yes, there are. So, but what they will be, we don't know right now. You know, monitors tend to cost more. Currently, I think our contract is for about $540,000 with the compliance officer, the COCO. And generally, monitors are closer to $1 million and sometimes up to $2 million. However, keep in mind that that's for jurisdictions that are just starting out with a new settlement agreement. I don't know of a jurisdiction that has been in under this type of arrangement and then switched over to a monitor. So it's hard for me to estimate what that'll be like. So in the impact statement, I said it could very well be higher, but it's really hard to estimate what the additional cost will be, if at all. I just don't know, given the termination, assuming the court adopts what we've provided for, there'll be a termination of about 40% of the paragraphs.
Okay. Do we know what the cost center would be? Would these be charged to the police bureau, city attorney's office?
No. So currently it's under special appropriations. So city budget office has money for the compliance officer. And in our discussions, we would look for the same process to exist for the monitor.
Okay. Thank you very much, Commissioner Rubio. I have no more questions.
Thank you.
Any other questions, colleagues? None. Mayor, any comments before we call the roll?
No, only that I would encourage people to pass the ordinance.
Pass the what?
Can you repeat that, Mr. Mayor?
The commissioner asked if I had any comments before the vote. My only comment would be that I hope people support this effort.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. All right. If there are no more, there's no more discussion, let's call the roll.
Maps.
I want to thank our attorneys for today's presentation and their work on this issue over many months, if not years. Really appreciate the public testimony that we heard today and the amici who have been at the table with us for many years, too. I also want to acknowledge all of our staff. I know every office has been engaged in this conversation, and the fact that we have broad support for this move is a sign of the good work done. I very much appreciate this. I'm glad that we can move forward with building a more accountable, fairer public safety system, which is why I vote aye.
Ryan.
Yes. First of all, thank you, Heidi Brown, and your colleagues for your many hours over the years you have labored to move justice along. As such, today we stand at a pivotal moment in our city's history. A moment that reflects our commitment to justice, to accountability, and the unyielding pursuit of a safer, fair community for all Portlanders. First, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank a staffer of mine, Darian Jones, dedicated involvement on this for over 2 years, liaisoning with you and your team, and between the DOJ and the council offices. Darian, I could not be more grateful for the many, many, many hours that you've spent in the hearings and briefings and following this process, and your frequent updates to me, and my frequent pausing to say, could you explain that again? So we have been on this for a long time. As we consider the amendments before us today to the settlement agreement with the Department of Justice, we must acknowledge the significant strides we have made in the journey ahead. For more than a decade, the City of Portland has worked in concert with the DOJ to ensure our police force serves with integrity, respect, and accountability. Our efforts have been substantial, but the path towards reform is not static. It requires continuous reflection and adaptation. The proposed amendments mark a critical evolution in our oversight process, embracing the principles laid out by the Attorney General. The introduction of an independent monitor is not just a change in structure from the compliance officer. It's a reaffirmation of our values, a commitment to impartial assessment, and a dedication to transparency that our community deserves. This change mirrors our heightened commitment to reform. The independent monitor will be selected through a robust public process involving community stakeholders at the Portland Police Association, Albina Ministerial Alliance, Coalition for Justice, and Police Reform. And it's good to see you, Dr. Hayes. Thanks for being here today and for your decades of service, and the Mental Health Alliance. This signifies a bridge between the people of Portland and the institutions designed to protect them. The independent monitor will not only assess compliance, but identify barriers, foster recommendations, and ensure our progress is shared candidly with the public. Furthermore, the immediate partial termination of self-monitoring provisions outlined in these amendments are pragmatic steps that recognize our accomplishments while sharpening our focus on areas that demand our greatest attention. This approach aligns with the DOJ's guidance, which rightfully insists that success is measured by our ability to sustain reform independently. As we contemplate these changes, let us also consider the broader implications. They are a signal to our community that we listen, we learn, and we lead with the intention of building trust every day. This has been a long and complicated process. It is my hope that this settlement marks a turning point in the relationship between our community and our police officers. Portland, we will establish trust with the hope that this is a step towards trust, relationship building, and mutual respect. I vote aye.
Gonzalez.
I want to take this opportunity to thank Heidi Brown, Sarah Amos, and Lisa Rogers in the City Attorney's Office, Grace Arpak in my office for working tirelessly towards a resolution on this amendment. I know that this is an ongoing settlement that we are still working through with the Department of Justice, but the city team has done an excellent job of working through the concerns of the amici and the DOJ. This is by no means an ending point, but coming to an agreement for the appointment of an independent monitor to objectively assess the city's compliance with and implementation of the settlement agreement helps to move the city towards our goal of full compliance with the DOJ. This agreement today shows that the city is doing its part in diligently working through the settlement agreement by recognizing the work that the Police Bureau has done and continues to do for and throughout this community. I want to extend a thank you to all parties involved that got us here, including U.S. Magistrate Judge Stacey Beckerman, the Albina Ministerial Alliance, the Mental Health Alliance, and the Portland Police Association. Heidi, I know you, Sarah, and Lisa have spent countless hours on this and will continue to do so as this is only part of the settlement. But I want to take time again to thank you and your whole team for making sure that what's best for Portland is at the forefront of the settlement. I vote aye.
Rubio.
I'd like to express my gratitude to Heidi and the city attorney team for working on this and for all your commitment to getting it right. I also want to thank the amici for their counsel and for their accountability to all of us on behalf of the community, as well as the Department of Justice, PPB, and PPA for engaging in the process as well. I'd also like to give a big appreciation to my staff, Angela Rico, who spent hundreds of hours working with Heidi and her team on this. Her heart is truly in this work, and I really, really appreciate her dedication. I believe this settlement agreement provides good guidance for a more equitable and distributed response that focuses on change, the resources, and the leadership direction that will lead us to a more productive path forward. It's our expectation that these expectations continue in practice from here on out, and it's not a checklist to get that gets put away. It's a permanent and living change that we're looking for. And I also want to appreciate the points that were raised here today by Dr. Haynes. To me, these are valuable and reasonable suggestions. So my office is very interested and will follow up with our city staff on this as well. So I look forward to continued engagement with the community as the settlement agreement and amendment moves on to its next phase, which will be a hearing where the public will also be able to comment before the court. So this is a meaningful step for our city and our community and means that we'll continue to build and strengthen on this foundation to get us where we need to be as a more equitable, inclusive, and just city with meaningful and permanent changes and reforms that our community is seeking. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
So I am now the third mayor to serve under this settlement agreement. And it's pretty clear that this will go on to the next mayor as well, four mayors. I'm not sure that anybody, when we entered into this original agreement, understood that this process would take this long. And I want to acknowledge that dozens of people have dedicated an incredible amount of energy into this settlement agreement. And let's be clear, the settlement agreement, the target has shifted over the years, which means we have to be ever vigilant in terms of everything that we are doing in the Portland Police Bureau to make sure we're getting it right, that we fulfill our obligations to the DOJ. Having an independent monitor, I think, strengthens our hands. And while there are definitely some trade-offs to this arrangement, I think ultimately it will help us achieve all of the accountability goals we want to achieve. It'll enable the Portland Police Bureau to spend more time and energy focusing on its core mission. It will allow us to move on having further enhanced trust with the public that we all collectively serve. I also want to thank Robert Taylor and Heidi Brown and Sarah Ames. I know you've all put an incredible amount of effort into this. I want to thank you for that. These diligent efforts also included mediation with Judge Beckerman and stakeholders to negotiated terms. Those negotiations, of course, included input from the amici as well as the Portland Police Association. I really want to acknowledge that everybody had a hand in this. We all collectively worked on this. There was no particular one source that led to this outcome. This is a really, I believe, solid compromise. We've also received input from community members regarding moving to an independent monitor, including a recommendation from the Committee on Community Engaged Policing. And I want to thank them for their support as well. All of this valuable feedback helped to inform and shape how we move forward with the shared goal of full compliance. That's what we all want here, is full compliance. As you've heard, this agreement helps to streamline compliance monitoring and maintain clarity around the roles of the various parties. I think it'll also help us to focus compliant efforts on the areas of greatest need while maintaining compliance that we've already achieved. And again, I wanna thank Heidi and Robert and Sarah for your tremendous work. I know I speak for all of us on the council when I say that we appreciate you and the time and the energy you've put into this important milestone. I vote aye.
It passes, and I think this concludes our agenda for today.
It does.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. We are here.